This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
I wanted to talk today about love, or specifically loving kindness. And a few weeks ago when I was here last, I was talking about equanimity. If you remember equanimity as the quality of even-mindedness and balance, a really sort of non-reactive heart. And now we're going to talk about the loving heart. And there's a formulation in Buddhism, it's called the Brahma Viharas, which means the heavenly abodes. And the heavenly abodes are places that our hearts can dwell that are heavenly. And so one of them is equanimity, one of them is kindness, and then there are two more. The other two are joy and compassion. And so I want to, before the end of the year, cover all four of them. So today specifically, I'm going to talk about loving kindness, and some of you may be familiar with it and know it quite well, and some of you it might be newer to, because it's a practice that we can do. And I've certainly, even if you've only been here a little bit, we weave in kindness a lot when I talk about how to work with different difficulties, and we do some little bits of that practice, but there's some very specific practices around it. Messages of love and compassion are in pretty much every single, as far as I know, religious tradition. So we have a quote from Thomas Merton, the Christian contemplative mystic, who said, "Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. It's not our business, and in fact, it's nobody's business. What we're asked to do is to love, and this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors worthy." Now, of course, there's many, many quotes in Christian religion. There's in the Torah, we have, of course, the very, very, very famous quote in Judaism, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And then that is said in many, many ways in Christianity. In Islam, we have the Muhammad saying, "None of you has faith until he loves for his brothers what he loves for himself." And then we, of course, don't need to be religious to be kind. There's, many great poets and scholars and artists and philosophers. And, there's the very famous Henry James quote, "Three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind." And then the great prophet Leonard Cohen said, "We are so lightly here. It is in love that we are made. In love, we disappear." So I could go on and on with a million billion, if you just were to Google quotes about love, endless quotes, whether they're religious or from poets, philosophers. I mean, it's just, it's such a key concept in for the human heart, right? It's for all of us. And I'm just going to dig a little bit into the origins in Buddhism, because the practices that I teach within the mindfulness context are rooted in this. And I think there's some really beautiful and interesting teachings. So just to give you a little bit of a hit of that. So apparently it was taught, the first time that the historical Buddha taught loving kindness practices was when a bunch of his monks went to practice in the forest, which is something that they do in traditional Buddhism. And every what's called during the rains period, there's a 3-month period of time where you go in and you just do a meditative practice for that period of time. And they went to the forest, but the forest was filled with tree spirits, supposedly. This is folklore, There are tree spirits, and the tree spirits didn't like that the monks had entered their forest and had taken over the forest. So the tree spirits started trying to scare the monks with like ghostly apparitions and loud noises and scary, scary things. And so the monks went back to the Buddha and said, what do we do? It's too scary. We can't meditate there. And then he said, well, I can't teach you how to subdue the how to stop them from doing that. But what I can do is teach you to have a heart, a wide open heart that can you can be okay even with these terrible, scary, scary apparitions. And so they went out and they practiced the loving kindness practice, and that supposedly subdued the tree spirits, who became really happy and joyful. And so the idea is that as you practice this, as you practice love, out it goes in hundreds and millions and jillions of directions, right? So here's some of the language around sending loving kindness. And here, let me get the quote for you. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short, or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. And it goes on and on like that. This is one of the most famous quotes around it. And the part that is always interesting for some of us, we relate to this, some we don't, but it says, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. So that's assuming it's like a good mother. Not all mothers do that, but a good mother cherishes all, it protects the child. And this quality of the heart that we're pointing to, that we're going to be practicing in a little while, is this open-heartedness, this cherishing of all living beings. And then in the historical context and that it comes out of, there's all these things that you get if you practice loving kindness. There's a list of benefits, and you sleep well, you don't have nightmares, you wake up feeling well, people like you, people like you are protected. And here's a good one: neither fire nor poison nor weapons can harm one. So if you practice a lot of loving kindness, you'll be impervious to all of these things. One's mind is easily calmed. One's countenance is serene, one dies without confusion, and one lives. And then we get into cosmology, but you have very good rebirths according to that. All right, I'm just giving you some a little historical Buddhism just for the context. But what I want to talk about it really is, how is it relevant to us as practitioner, as mindfulness practitioners? And most of us, live, are not practicing in that sort of lineage. So I was looking at the science behind it, and what are sort of the big studies looking at the impact of loving kindness meditation. And so I'm also looking at loving kindness and compassion meditation, but loving kindness meditation reliably boosts positive emotions. So a meta-analysis is when they look at all the studies that are out there. And so they took 24 studies, which had 1,750 participants, and they basically found that there was a boost in emotion and a pretty good size for daily positive emotion practice. So if you do it on a daily basis, it's going to have a general boost in your sense of well-being. And this is what kind of across all these 24 studies. This practice increases self-compassion, so compassion towards self and compassion towards others. And that's interesting. So it's not just you send it out and other people feel better. It's us feeling better about ourselves. It has excellent mental health outcomes. So things like reduced stress, reducing negative affect, improve mindfulness, positive when compared to controls. And it also improves social connection and interpersonal outcome. So, for instance, This is more of like an early study, but it found that a brief loving kindness meditation session increased feelings of social connectedness and positivity towards strangers compared to control. So there's still a lot to do and to explore related to loving kindness. Many questions remain about how much to do it, what's called the dose response. You do a little, do a lot. How much do you need to see these effects? How much practice, what type of practice, how it works in clinical populations. But anyway, there's a lot to explore. But nonetheless, it is a practice that seems to be getting a lot of good research behind that is a helpful thing for boosting our self-esteem, our sense of well-being, of connectedness, of care for ourselves. Like there's just a lot of good research behind it. So what exactly is it? What exactly is it? I think of it as an inclination of the heart towards a love that's not, and towards kindness, right? It doesn't have to be like, I'm super loving. It just could be like a movement towards having a kinder, open heart. And I see it as a beautiful quality that's inherent in all human beings and that we all can access. So it's not like only some people can be kind. It's something that already exists within every one of us. And this is, it's not something you have to artificially create. It's more like about tapping into that which is already here, this capacity for open-heartedness, for care, for kindness. And it's not Hallmarky, sentimental, mushy gushy. It's not that kind of thing because it's really, sometimes it's talked about as unconditional love, but I feel like that's a little bit too high of a bar because sometimes we have kindness and it's not always unconditional, but it's this capacity of the human heart to connect and to care and to want happiness for others and happiness for self. And in that, there's a joy that comes in this open heart. And it's really this thing where the research is saying it cuts through, it creates more connection because it cuts through a sense of other, right? And when we start to practice it, there's less separation and it begins to really transform our heart and mind. So that's the language around it, but let's just take a moment to connect with it. So I just invite you to take a moment to, if you want to close your eyes, you can, you don't have to. And let yourself bring to mind someone you love, someone that when you think of them, you get happy. And this could be a child, a best friend, a benefactor, a mentor, it could be your pet, dogs, cats, other animals work well. If nobody occurs to you, just maybe someone you would, at least someone you admire. Maybe you don't know them, but you admire them. So bring that person or animal to mind. And take a moment to reflect on what you love about them. They're adorable. They're always happy to see you. They've done amazing things in the world. Okay, and as you're reflecting, now turn your attention into your body and just sense, what am I feeling? As you think, and now you don't have to even reflect, just being with whatever is here. What do you notice? Okay, let's pause and I'll just invite like a word or so in the chat if you want to, on what you felt when you thought of this beloved person or animal. Any, can you describe, what language would you use to describe the experience? Warmth. More spacious, lighter, calm, softening. Peace, joy, inner smile. As if me even saying the words, can you kind of feel it too? Like I'm feeling it as I'm re repeating what you've written here. Loving. Yeah, this is it. I mean, it's not any kind of major, like, challenging thing to reach. It's something that's completely accessible to all of us, and everybody could access it just in a moment of contemplating a beloved, right? And then, someone wrote safe, loving. It's right there for us. So it is embedded in the mindfulness practice. It's not separate from the mindfulness practice that we typically do, right? Because when I give my definition, I say paying attention to our present moment experiences with openness, curiosity, and a willingness to be with that experience. That willingness is a kind of kindness to our experience, towards our experience, I mean, so that you're not sitting and meditating and going, ah, this is what's wrong with me. Why am I feeling this? Being with what is, with a kind of kindness. And some people in their definitions of mindfulness bring kindness in. I kind of see it as like it's like inherent in mindfulness. And you know that I encourage you that when your mind is not staying in the present moment, you don't yell at yourself and say, get back to your breath or something. That would not be kindness. You're cultivating this willingness. And of course, it's a lot of that is equanimity that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And it's also just this care for ourselves that any of us can access. So the way that we do it, it comes, like I said, it's part of mindfulness in some ways, but it's also cultivated on its own through specific practices. And there's lots of different practices that we can do to cultivate kindness. And so when we practice it, it can have different effects. So there's some ways to practice loving kindness that help our mind get really concentrated and focused. There are ways of doing it that replace our anxiety and worry. Like we change our inner narrative through repetitive phrases. There's ways of doing it that can be quite insightful. We start to understand ourselves. I'll say a little bit more about that in a second. There are ways of doing the practices that promote healing. We work with what gets in the way of kindness, and we find ways to be kind to ourselves and others in ways that we never imagined. So I'll say more again about that in a second. There are ways of practice that help us see the inherent love that is already within us. And there are ways of practice that help us feel connected to the world. And I feel like it's a revolutionary practice right now that there's so much cruelty and violence in this world, and that to choose love is a really big deal. And so we can do practices that deliberately cultivate. And there's all sorts of, like I said, there's multiple ways to do it. And some of the ways involves imagery, and some involve a repetition of phrases, and some involve working with feelings and allowing the feelings to be here. And you can send it to anybody. You can send it to yourself. You can send it to someone you love. Like we just kind of checked into a little bit. We can send it out to people in our family. We can send it out to people in all different directions. We can send it out to people we don't know. It's an incredible practice for working with people we have difficulty with, right? When you're having a hard time, try the loving kindness practice with it for another person that you're having difficulty with. It's really hard to do, and it's also can be transformative. We can send kindness out to the world. And I think, a lot of the weeks here when we practice together, at the end of the night, we might just send it out to each other or send it. It's honestly, the love is boundless. Love is boundless. There are no limits to our capacity to love. And there's no limits to our creativity that we can have when we're practicing with this. And so, in a little while, we're going to do some loving kindness meditation, and you'll see there are different ways to do it. And we'll pick one or two today, depending on time. But that when we do these practices, we can, as the science was saying, we can transform our minds. It's some people think like, whatever I'm born with, I'm stuck with it. I'm stuck with myself. I'm not a person who's very loving. But the science of neuroplasticity shows us that's not true. It shows us that we can change our brains. We can create new neural pathways towards things that we want, that we desire. And it's through the repetition that things change. So these practices, that's one of the reasons these practices work. And what I've seen as I've worked with people from, on this practice for like 30 years, and I've seen people transform. I mean, the combination, usually it's the combination of the mindfulness and the loving kindness practice, but they practice and they become more loving towards themselves. It shifts relationships. They feel more at home in the world. There's more connectedness. There's just so many beautiful benefits. Now, it's definitely when we do this practice, one of the ways that people get tripped up is they think they have to do it perfectly. Like, okay, now I'm going to be loving. Got it. And, it's not about doing it perfectly. It's really about, it's first of all, it's a training. Just like the mindfulness practice is a training, it's a training in opening the heart. And a lot of the times when we do the practice, we encounter what gets in the way of an ability to have kindness. So you're sending kindness out to someone, a family member, and suddenly a resentment comes up. Oh, that jerk, they did such and such to me. And that doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means you're getting to use the practice to explore what's happening, and then you can sort of work with that. Well, what's that about? And then that's when also I use mindfulness a lot in the loving kindness practice. Now, I don't want to get too technical because I'm giving kind of an overview, and I will, when we do the meditation practice, I'll explain more how that works. But this is the beauty of it. It's like it's a practice that awakens us to our inner landscape and to the places that our heart has hardened and the parts that need to open and or maybe don't need to open, but what if we could open there? What if I could find a little bit of kindness towards this person that I've had such a hard time with? So we open up and we deepen our capacity to care. And it doesn't mean that we always can, but just that it is possible. And, the Dalai Lama, one of his famous quotes is, choose kindness whenever possible, and it's always possible. Now, it doesn't always feel like it's possible. So I just want to acknowledge that. That's the Dalai Lama, who is, an incredible being. But it is something that we all can kind of set our intention towards. It's like a North Star that we move in the direction of. And it can become like a default setting. It becomes well, when I see people get started with it, sometimes people hate the practice and they don't want to do it and they're really into mindfulness and why should I do this? And then that maybe at some point it grows on them or they give it a try and they start to see that, oh, actually I'm feeling a little better when I do it. And then they start doing more of it and you can do it. I'm going to be teaching a retreat where you can do it for 7 days and just all you're doing is loving kindness practice. That's coming up in January. So you can do it in long and deep ways, and people begin to transform. And then down the road, it starts to become who you are. This is like amazing. I mean, and I have this friend, I've probably talked about him before, but he said, I used to be the most judgmental, quick to anger, like just I hated everyone and everything. And then he got a very serious meditation practice. And he says, these days, it's all about like just sitting and appreciating the joy of looking at the flower that's sitting in front of me or feeling my connection, like feeling the gratitude and the connection that I have with this other person. Like that is so joyful for him. And this kindness, it's like he says, my heart's transformed. And it's taken him a long time. I think it's taken like 30 years, but he has changed. But he had a hard starting point. He was like, that's how he says. So just lastly, I'll say, and what I started to say before, but our world is a mess. And having loving kindness is not to kind of paint over and pretend that everything is fine. It's really a practice that I think is so needed so that we stay in our humanity as the humanity around us is going through so much turmoil. And we up our kindness to meet the challenges of the world. And I feel like this is one of the most important practices we can be doing right now. This combination, of course, with mindfulness, because we've got to use mindfulness for cultivating equanimity, for more ease and balance, and helping us with difficult emotions, and then kindness to move open that heart so that we can be these sort of, I mean, I think of it as almost like warriors for peace, right? And love in a time of such disturbance. So this lastly, I'll end with a quote by Maya Angelou. She says, "Love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at a destination full of hope." Okay, so I'm going to pause and I just want to see if there are any questions before I move on to some practices that we'll do together. We'll explore a few different versions of this practice, but anything, any questions before we move on? Okay, hi Lee.
I heard a several different translation for metta. I think one it's unshakable friendliness. I feel that one is more appropriate. Also, Thich Nhat Hanh said he think loving kindness is a very bad translation. So what do you think? And what do you think is the best translation?
I'm sort of lazy about it. I just kind of go with loving kindness because I've done it. I've used that translation for so long, but you're absolutely right. There's multiple ways of translating it. And yes, friendliness is one. When they do it with Susan Kaiser, who created a lot of programs for children, used to call it friendly wishes. That was her definition of it. And so you use the word, which I didn't even use, which is metta, M-E-T-T-A, which is the word in the Buddhist language, that I'm translating here. I think honestly, it's whatever word is going to speak to people. So Marvin Belzer, who I taught with for, all those years in our center, he doesn't use loving kindness. He'll only use kindness. He feels like loving is too sweet or saccharine or something. So I think it's for all of us. It's finding the one that we go, oh yeah, that one makes sense. Like, I'm not developing loving kindness, but okay, I can be kind maybe, or I can be friendly, or I can be caring or something. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you. Yeah. If you do meditate 30 minutes, do you do this the whole time? Oh, if you were to do this practice, it's sort of up to you. Like, one thing that's nice to do, for instance, is if you're meditating for 30 minutes, and bravo if you are, is say do 15 minutes of mindfulness and 15 minutes of loving kindness. Or start your practice with some loving kindness, or end your practice with loving kindness. Or if you want to do a longer one, see what it's like. Now, we have lots of recordings and stuff, so you don't have to do it on your own by yourself. But once you get the hang of it, of course you can. And it's there. I mean, like I said, the scientists don't know how frequently you have to do it for it to change your brain. But we do know that there is something called the dose response, and the dose response means that essentially the short version is the more you do it, the more results you're going to see. So if you sat and did 30 minutes of loving kindness, bravo. Okay, so I'm going to do the first loving kindness meditation. I think we'll have time for two short ones. Because I teach it in different ways, and one of the ways that I teach it, actually many different ways, and some of you are in my, I'm doing a class on advanced loving kindness where we're really, really, really diving into that, which that's coming to an end, actually, sadly. One of the ways of doing it is what I call dry loving kindness, which means not the best translation, but it's done as a kind of thought-based practice as opposed to an emotion-based practice, which I call a wet-based loving kindness. So the dry loving kindness means just using your mind and not worrying about having just using your thoughts, sorry, and not worrying about whether or not a feeling arises. So we're going to practice this. So it's kind of, it's the kind of the practice that can change our inner narrative. So instead of having an inner narrative that is, I'm a jerk, I hate that person, my life is terrible, I had a bad day, I'm depressed, or which is what a lot of people's minds are like, we can turn it into, may I be happy, may you be happy, may we all be happy. We can play with it. Okay. So we're going to try that, the first practice. So let's settle back and take a breath or two, just seeing how you're doing as we move into some practice. Maybe a few more breaths to settle. And what I'm going to invite you to do is I'm going to teach you a very simple phrase that's easy to remember. May I be happy? May you be happy? May we all be happy? That's it. May I be happy? May you be happy? May we all be happy? And what we're going to do is repeat that phrase over and over. Almost like a mantra, right? Like a repeating word. And then when your attention wanders away, just bring it back to the words. Now, a couple of things. Some, just like we were talking about earlier, some people that translation doesn't work. So they don't like the word happy. But so find the word that you want to say. So it might be, may I be peaceful? May you be peaceful? May we all be peaceful? Or may I be joyful? May you be joyful? May we all be joyful. May I be at ease. May you be at ease. May we all be at ease. So find the word. Just listen to yourself right now. What do I want to wish? You don't have to do it forever, just for the next 5 minutes or so. And let's begin to say it in our mind. May I be happy? May you be happy? May we all be happy? And you just repeat it kind of at that pace, right? You don't want to go too fast or too slow. May I be happy? May you be happy? May we all be happy? And don't worry about feeling happy or kind. Just say the words and see what happens. There may be emotion that comes or a feeling of kindness, and there may not be. And in this form of the practice, it doesn't matter. You may have images or thoughts about people that arise or animals. Let it be here, but just keep going with the phrases. May I be happy? May you be happy? May we all be happy, or whatever is your word. Okay. So let's give it a try. We're not going to do it too long, just maybe 4 or 5 minutes. We're just doing this meditation for a short time as a kind of sampler, I guess. So now notice what that was like. Notice what happened. How was your mind as you did that? How did it affect you? What's your preference here? Liked it, didn't like it, interested, curious, maybe want to do more of it? Found it helpful, not helpful? Okay, just to notice. And then when you're ready, take a breath and we can open our eyes or come back to the room. Okay, so I'm curious how that went for people. If you wouldn't, and we got a lot of hearts, so that's good. Flying hearts through the Zoom room. But maybe put into the chat. What your experience was like, or if any questions came up, I'll just give you a couple of minutes to. I want to hear how it went. Some of you may have never done this practice before. I love how short and simple it is. Yeah, it's a very, very simple way of teaching and practicing. Bobbing head, maybe you got sleepy. Me too. Completely at peace inside. Beautiful. I developed positive thoughts and feelings. Peaceful. Yeah. Did anybody find it annoying and didn't like it? I want to hear about that too. Give it another minute. I wondered who I should direct the feeling to. Yeah, it's kind of actually, there's not an, you could, if you feel like your heart is like, oh, I really want to do this for my sister or something, then do it. But it's more of like a general kind of blanket to everyone. And if a person arises, let that happen in a natural, organic way. I didn't get as distracted as when I follow my breath. So that's interesting to know, Karen, because some people find that words can be very helpful. They're like really obvious and they keep the mind present. So if you like this practice, do it. And if you go to the UCLA Mindful app, you'll see dry love. Maybe Serena can put a link to a dry loving kindness practice so you can get like a longer version of that. And you can also, just to say, in mindfulness, if you find that words are helpful, you can use them when you do the meditation. You could say rising, falling, or in, out. If you're paying attention to the nose or at the abdomen or chest, rising, falling, thinking, rising, falling, words can be useful. So it's just another point. Very common. I kept changing my word from joyful to happy and safe. I kept editing myself. Yeah, well, you were just sort of learning this. And it may be that if you do it on a longer term basis, you might find that you want to, that there's a word you land on, or it might be that it changes and it could change from session to session. There's a lot of flexibility and freedom in this practice. Brenda says it's her favorite at long stoplights. That's a good thing to do. You're at a stoplight. Instead of going, when's the light going to change? That jerk in the other car. You're saying, may I be happy? May you be happy? May we all be happy? If you're not feeling it, do you just notice that's where you're at? So with this particular form of the kindness practice, you don't need to feel it. We'll do the next one now before we have time to do it, which is I'm going to invite you into the feeling. But with this practice, what's really nice and relieving about it is there's no pressure to feel anything. It's more about what our mind can default to, so that as it starts to become, it becomes like a something in your mind, like, oh, may I be happy, may I be happy. And I'll find myself sometimes like I'm just, I don't know, like putting dishes away and my mind's going, may I be happy, may you be happy. And it's so much nicer than who left that on the counter and why did they forget to clean up and my daughter made a mess again, right? Like those are choices in the mind. And so just invite you to take it home and play with it. I have a hard time sending love to myself, but this is good to add myself with others. Yeah. And like I said, you don't have to send it to yourself, or it's just goodwill, changing the inner narrative. All right, so let's do the opposite one, which is what I call the wet loving kindness, which is more of like a we're aiming for the feeling. But the important thing to know is we're aiming for the feeling, but if you're not feeling it, don't get discouraged. Just know that sometimes it's hard to access the feeling. It's not a big deal, and I'll give you options. Okay. And this is probably, if you've been practicing with me for some time, you're probably quite familiar with this version. Okay. So going back into more of a space, we're just going to do a short version of this. Taking a breath. And let yourself bring to mind someone you love, someone when you think of them, you get happy. Could be the person or animal you thought of in the beginning of the class or during the talk. Could be someone new, someone you admire. And bring them to mind and have a sense of them here with you. Remember what you love about them. And as you bring them to mind, once again, the invitation is to notice how that feels inside you. So, with this wet loving kindness, we're going towards the feeling. So, as you have the person in your mind's eye, we can offer them some words. Again, we use words. The words that I typically use are, may you be safe and protected. And I imagine them safe and protected. May you be happy and peaceful. I have a sense of them happy and peaceful. May you be healthy and strong. Imagining them healthy, strong. May you be at ease. Sensing them at ease and then sensing into myself, like, how does it feel as I think of this person with these friendly wishes, right? These warm words, this friendliness, this open-heartedness. Another translation, open-heartedness. And notice how you're feeling. You can say it again, may you be safe and protected. May you be happy and peaceful. So now have a sense of the kindness, not only just in words this time, but coming out of you to them, right? And so it could be anything. It's maybe you like sense color or liquid or light or hearts or something as it goes toward them. May you be healthy and strong. May you be at ease. And it doesn't have to be like you see something, it could just be a feeling. Notice how that feels. And now let's imagine that they turn around and send it back to you. See if you can take it in. You may or may not be able to, as they say, may you be safe and protected. We do this practice kind of slowly so we can stop and feel in between the words. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be healthy and strong. May you be at ease. So they're saying that to us, taking it in. Noticing how you're feeling. What's that like? Know that there are many, many ways to do this practice. So we'll just do one right now in the interest of time as we imagine a kind of circle. So as you breathe in, take in kindness from them. And as you breathe out, send kindness out, back out. And then we can include the words if you want to. May you be safe. May we be safe and protected. May we be happy and peaceful. May we be healthy and strong. May we be at ease. And maybe there's something specific you want to wish both of you, right? Maybe they want to wish you or you want to wish them. Just do so now. May we have joy. May we know we are loved. May we be safe. And noticing what happens as you say whatever words you want to say to both of you. Breathing and sensing. And if you're feeling kindness, maybe you could be feeling really anything. It could be a tender heart. It could be kindness. It could be nothing at all. It could be a difficult feeling. Let's see if we can just be with that. We can say, for whatever it is I'm feeling right now, may I hold this too with kindness. For whatever it is I'm feeling right now, may I hold this too with kindness. Notice what happens as you say that. And now let's imagine from this cycle with this loved one, animal, human, we just send it out into the world. So we have this beautiful kind of cyclical thing with that, with us in our mind. And now just imagine it going out into the world. So all of the kindness that's generated here goes out far and wide. May all beings everywhere be happy and peaceful and at ease. So when you're ready, you can open your eyes or end the meditation. All right, so that one is pretty different, right? There's a little more pressure to have feelings, but it's also quite a beautiful one, and it can be a very healing version. There's, you know, a lot more to say, and I'll do more classes on it, you know, in the future. But just here, let's use the chat in the last few minutes to hear how that one went, or a comparison with the first one, either one, or questions. Tears and love. Sometimes they come together, don't they? Comfort. I felt sadness. Yeah. So remember, I said sometimes when you do this emotion-based one, the feeling that is not the feeling you're trying to cultivate, like oftentimes maybe the opposite comes up. And so that's when we are really gentle. That's when I gave you that instruction. You can say, for whatever it is I'm feeling, may I hold this too with kindness. And that's to address when a difficult feeling arises. Or we can bring our mindfulness and just bring some kindness to ourselves for whatever we're feeling. Heart felt more open, as I said, may I hold whatever I'm feeling with love and kindness. Yeah, so that's the point. Wistful. I found myself visualizing the other person. It made me feel connected to them. Harder for me to do, lovely. Harder for me to do than the verbal repeating. Yeah, so there's so many ways to practice this. And if I taught you just two tonight, and if one of them is like really interesting, go with it, you know, and the other one I don't really like so much, no problem. In practice, I can't distinguish between wet and dry loving kindness method. So it's really the main difference is when we're doing the dry, it's just a repetition. It's using our thoughts, repeating words, and just not like kind of letting go of any outcome. With the wet, it's the aim is to deliberately evoke the feelings and see if you can get it to grow and permeate and explore what gets in the way with it. Somebody definitely liked the wet. My hands are warmer. Interesting. I like it that in the folktale, the remedy for fear is love. Yeah, beautiful. That's right. So I had a negative reaction and sending it back to me, slight irritation on the surface of body, followed by an internal heat like a hot flash. Yeah, for some people, they can send it out to everybody, but it's really hard to send it to themselves. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it's a practice. So if you're interested in doing more towards yourself, you can just, you can, there's a bunch of meditations that I have on the app or online that are kind of self-directed loving kindness. I would take a look at that. And Serena just pointed this out in on December, let's say December 5th, December 6th, I'm doing a day specifically on cultivating kindness for ourself. So it's called cultivating self-compassion. So that is a great one if you want to learn more about how to bring kindness to ourselves. There's a whole methodology around that that's really interesting and helpful. So you can join me. It's an online all day long of meditating. I mean, we won't be meditating the whole day. I'll be talking. There'll be it's walking meditation. There'll be, lots of things going on. It won't be like 8 hours of meditating or something like that. Okay, Serena put a lot of things in the chat. The day of mindfulness, our calendar of events, exploring our classes for everything that's free. I'll be at the Hammer tomorrow. Subscribe to our newsletter. Oh boy, she put everything in there. That's great, Serena. Thank you. And think that's kind of it. And so take whatever you found useful, take it with you. Explore our practice with. Grab onto the things that are useful and don't worry about the things that aren't. And it's lovely to be with all of you. I believe I'm here again next week. Yes. So I'll do a follow-up to this with some more compassion, I think will be the next one. Okay. So if you want to go off mute and say goodbye, feel free. And thanks for, I love all the hearts, which feel very appropriate for our class today.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.